Thank the Lord for our young people this morning. Thankful for that song they sang. Thank you, sister, for singing that song. Such a beautiful reminder that no matter where we find ourselves, where we find ourselves in life, or no matter what we're going through, that there is still someone that we can bring all those cares, those burdens to. I thank the Lord so much for those songs. They're reminding us, let us have a talk with who? With that man who can. That man named Jesus. Thank the Lord for that song, or for those songs. It's good to be back here this morning, to be back in service with y'all. Good to see each one out. I do have something I would like to share with you this morning. Some might would think that maybe it's not your typical Sunday morning message, but it's what the Lord's given me, and if you'll bear with me for a few minutes, I'd like to share it with you. Write a few words on the board. Written the words on the board, a temple restored. Not too long ago, a few weeks ago, me and my family took a ride a little west of here, about an hour, to Baton Rouge. And we had some business to do over there, and we were in a little area of Baton Rouge off of, I believe that was Airline Highway. Local folks would know what I'm referring to. Cortana Mall, old Cortana Mall. And there is still a few businesses around there, but the mall itself is the building is still there. There is no day-to-day activities at that location anymore. All of those retail businesses that were inside that building have moved on, and that place has kind of become it's shut down. The last several years kind of been intrigued with empty, abandoned, deserted buildings. Just kind of somewhat would think a weird thing. I'm not alone. There is actually groups of people, individuals that share this interest, especially in photography, where they will go to abandoned places or abandoned theme parks and try to somehow capture the emptiness and the loneliness and that is portraying, and it's just something about that captures my imagination. And I, as we passed by that particular area and that particular building, I looked at that building and just looked at how just it was a grim look and sad at the same time. You can see the landscaping, the flower beds have been unkept for so long, and things were just growing up and algae or mold or whatever on the side of the building, unkept for who knows how long. And I tried to let my mind go, as I do when I think of these kind of things, of all that used to take place there. And I'm sure at one time, as with that place, as many others, that there was so much foot traffic, money exchange, people that were there that that made a living, that went there on a day-to-day basis to provide for a family, Christmas shopping that was done at that particular location. But thinking of these warehouses and these all these places that at one time was just full of people in and out and going to and fro, and thinking that at one time something like that, it served a purpose. There was a purpose that building served. Now, whoever it was who owned that building, he was looking for a source of income, and he was renting out individual stores, whatever the reason was, but there was a purpose for that being there. And at one time, that purpose, no doubt, was being fulfilled. And I thought, how sad to see something so grand in structure that at one time was at the top of its game, and then to see it in today's time, and you look at it and see the state that it's in now. But that's our current world. That's the world we live in. That's brick and mortar. Things change. We have new ideas. We have new ways of doing things. Maybe it's not as efficient to try to sell your stuff in a place like that. Maybe it costs too much. And there's different ways of doing those type of things. But we get used to new and to better ideas. And so we move in that direction. But it reminded me of a story in 2 Chronicles about the 29th chapter. And that's where the title of my message comes from this morning, is A Temple Restored. It's a little Bible story that I'm sure most are familiar with, and I would like to read through much of the story in the 29th chapter. We won't read the whole chapter, but before we start reading, we'll just back up a little bit. And thinking about this temple that was destroyed, thinking about when this temple came to be, and how this was a temple that David wanted to build. David, the Lord showed David that it was not him that was to have it built. Solomon was the one the Lord blessed with the means, with the money, with the wisdom to build this temple. To build this temple in order to take the place of the old tabernacle. But a place, Solomon was to build this temple, a place that was, can we say, dedicated to God, for the people to pray, to worship, to sacrifice. A place that was, as many other buildings and tabernacles and temples in the land at that time, but this place was to be for God, only God, no other idols, no other worship, but to the one true God, all things God, all only talk of God, meetings discussing the law, all that was to take place in this temple. And the Lord blessed Solomon, and this temple came to be. Skip ahead a few years, and he had Hezekiah come along, and King Hezekiah, maybe arguably one of the wickedest kings that we have recorded, come along and through the wickedness of what man allows to come over him, the 28th chapter of 2 Chronicles says that he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So he was not of the Lord's favor, just a wicked king, participated in pagan practices. The scripture records that he sacrificed and killed children. And if you read in the 28th chapter, verses 24, it says, he gathered the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut the doors of the house of the Lord. What can come over a man to want to do such things? I don't know. I guess I'll never understand. But a man that wanted to, had let something come over him in a way that he wanted to go to destroy the things of the Lord and to close the doors of the temple and to make that an isolated, an abandoned place. And then we have the story of, in the 29th chapter, I'm sorry, you know what, I got that all wrong. Hezekiah restored the temple. Ahaz was the one who destroyed it. I had that wrong. I should have been reading from the scripture instead of trying to quote that story. Ahaz boarded up the temple, destroyed the things of the house of the Lord. Then we have Hezekiah come along. Hezekiah comes along, and that's where I'd like to pick up with my reading this morning. It's 2 Chronicles, 29th chapter, starting about verse 3. Again, it's bear with us as we read through these scriptures. We won't read all of them, but it is a little reading. And I ask that you would pray for us and just listen to the story as we read it. A temple restored. So talking about Hezekiah, starting in verse 3, he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judea and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose. I tell you what, the next couple verses go through a lot of names. We won't try to read through all those names. It calls out certain ones of the Levites. It's chapter verse 15. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And they brought out all the uncleanliness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook of Kindron. Now they began on the first day of the month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified their house, the house of the Lord, in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, and the altar of burnt offerings, with all of the vessels thereof, and the showbread table, with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all of the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. We'll stop there for just a minute. A quick recap, and I'm so sorry I butchered that up earlier. Ahaz destroyed the temple. Pray the Lord that doesn't take away from the thought this morning. Recap. Solomon had direction from the Lord to build this temple dedicated to God, to the worship of the Lord, for sacrifice, a place where people could come and express their burdens, their have reconciliation and just all things God, one with God. And And how beautiful of a picture that was, that Solomon was the one that God chose for that, and he was able to accomplish that with the help of the Lord. And then you have the wicked King Ahaz that come and destroyed those things of the Lord, cut those things of the Lord, and boarded up the temple. So then Hezekiah comes along, and he sees this place, this building, this structure, and I'm sure in his head he knows the history of this place, and I'll put this into my own words, into my own, and if you'll allow me, my own way of thinking, and he sees this place, and I wonder if he sees it the way I've seen things current day. And maybe he thinks, and he reminisces in his mind of all these things that have taken place, and the people that have met the Lord and found the Lord through these four walls, through this temple, and the things that people have experienced. And he sees how empty and abandoned and it looks. And he says, I want to do something with this place. I want to bring it back to its potential. This had the potential. This at one time was serving its, I meant to say purpose. This was at one time serving its purpose. God had a purpose for this temple, for this building, and thank the Lord that the people experienced that and it was serving its purpose. Hezekiah says, I want his purpose to be fulfilled again. So picking up in verse 20, we'll read just a few more verses down through here. So he gathers all the Levites and he sends them out and he says, look, we need to get this temple ready. Let's get this temple back and use it for what it was meant to be used for. But there's some things that we have to do first. We can't just go take the boards off the door, take the padlocks off the door. We can't just go in and all of a sudden start sacrificing and doing all these things that we need to do. No, there's some things that we have to do first. So let's pick up in verse 20. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. They brought seven bullocks and seven rams and seven lambs and seven he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judea. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, and of God the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offerings begin, the song of the Lord begin also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all of the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all of this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the prince commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. And we'll end our reading there. He commanded them to go into the temple to get it ready. They come back and they said, Hezekiah, we've done everything we can do. We've got everything out of the temple that was unclean. We've come and we've gotten the tables ready. We've gotten all the vessels ready. We've consecrated these things back to the Lord, and we're ready to go to the temple and do what was intended to do into the temple. And so the story goes, they go up to the temple. They offer the sacrifices upon the altars. And it says when they did that, they were able to sing the song of the Lord. And I want to focus in on that a little bit this morning. The song of the Lord and what they were able to do in that temple. And what they had to do in that temple before they could go do what the Lord wanted them to do. I liken that kind of to the buildings that I've looked at, that I've kind of been intrigued by. And in one way, I look at that story as being a sad story. It's a happy story. Solomon built the temple. It's sad that Ahaz came along and destroyed those things of the Lord, destroyed the temple, closed it up. But how beautiful it was that the Lord was able to help Hezekiah as he come back and was able to restore that back to its purpose. It still had potential there, and he was able to work with that and bring it back to a place that could be used again to love, to worship, and serve the Lord. So, with that story in the back of our minds, that is where my burden is this morning. Is what shape is my temple in? What shape is my temple in? I believe it was Paul that said over in 1 Corinthians, I believe he said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" I would like to, if we can, in our minds, let's picture ourselves being that temple of the Lord. And I'll ask the question again, what shape, what condition is my temple in this morning? Is my temple, my body, my heart, is it a place where God still wants to dwell? Is it a place that's been abandoned, that has been left alone for a little while? Just to think about all the things that's going on around us right now. And I'll just speak personally. How I've been affected by those things. We hear talk almost daily of, I hate to even mention it because we hear so much talk about it, but the topic of conversation right now is virus, right? Virus. And we hear so much about it, so much back and forth about it. We hear those that are afraid of it, those that don't want to have anything to do with it, those that are tired of hearing things about it. And I'll be honest with you, it's affected me. I'm affected by conversations that I hear. I'm affected by the news that I hear. I'm affected by the conversations of all the unrest and all the protests going on around us. No matter what the protest is for, I'm still affected by it. To hear of how people can let themselves come to a place where it's just back and forth at each other. The racial tensions that have divided this country, I'm affected by those things. I'm affected in my every day-to-day life when I go to work. Having to deal with the stress of a job, with having bills to pay, I'm affected by all those things going on around me. And trying to stay sane and trying to stay mentally aware in order to live my life. And all those things have an effect on me. They have an effect on you. And if I'm not careful, I can allow those things to change my perception of things. Those things can change the way I begin to think about things. Those things that I have to deal with can begin to affect the way that I talk about things, how I deal with things, how I respond to my family, to my children in different ways. It can begin to affect how I treat my brothers and sisters in Christ. It can begin to accept the way my brain is wired. And if I used to think this way, now I've heard so much of this side and this side, and now I can begin to think this way about something. And then all those things can start to change things within me. They can start to change how I look at things. Whereas I may have looked at things in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. But the farther I go through life and the more I have to deal with things, they can start to change the way that I look at things. And then I hear all this going on and I see all this going on and I can start to harbor feelings. I can start to harbor feelings of discontent, feelings of bitterness in my heart to different individuals. And I can start to allow things in my life and in my temple that aren't of God. Just from the things going on around me. Maybe it's more than likely no intention of any certain individual. But I can allow the intentions of individuals to affect me. They can affect what I allow into my life, what I allow into my temple. They can affect what I have allowed myself to become. And that's why I ask us the question this morning. Is everything in my temple still pleasing to the Lord? I was having a conversation with my boys the other day. And one of them was asking, Dad, sorry, it just kind of makes me tear up. One of them said, Dad, he said, how do I know if I'm drawing closer to the Lord? I said, well, son, I said, imagine your heart with you and the Lord in it, right? I said, imagine this is the Lord and this is you. And you're right here together. I said, we go through life. And I said, over time, I said, we let things come in. Right? Life has a way of doing that. Over time, we get back into ruts and we get back into routines and we take parts in conversations and we allow things to come in. And there's just a tiny little bit of separation right there. And the more we get comfortable with those things, the more we kind of allow those things to keep coming into our heart. And then there begins to get a separation. Well, over time, if you allow too much in your heart, you're going to start having feelings of numbness, emptiness. Feeling like you don't have anything. You're empty. And the more you allow in your heart, the more you allow in your temple, the more you take part in those things that are taking up our time and those conversations, we start to push out the things of the Lord. We start to push out the vessels and the table that was intended to come sit at and to feast from the things of the Lord in the temple, and the altars become dusty. And we're not using the altars like we should be. Because we've let these things come in and there begins a separation. But what did the Levites have to do? He said they had to go in. And they had to cleanse the temple. They had to get rid of those things. And that's what I told him. I said, it's good that you feel this way. It's good that you have identified. That you feel this way. If you feel empty, it's good that the Lord is showing you those things. But what's the next step? We have to cleanse the temple. We have to get those things out. And they come back to Hezekiah and they said, Hezekiah, we've got the things out of the way. I asked this morning, is our temple a place where the Lord wants to dwell? Is it a place that He is willing to dwell? That He desires to be in? Or have I got so caught up in the things going on around me and the opinions and all the back and forth that I have forgotten that I even have a temple? Lord, help us to be able to know and have the wisdom to know what needs to be there and what doesn't need to be there. If I allow these things that shouldn't be to accumulate and to build up, it's going to, over time, become a place where God chooses not to dwell. It's going to, over time, become a place that is abandoned, where the grass and the flower beds are unkept. Maybe you got some broken windows. I remember passing by empty buildings and empty warehouses, and you'll see these busted out window panes. And maybe see a tree growing up through the window and doing all it can do to try to get to the light and stay growing. But it's being suffocated out by the darkness and by the emptiness, and birds and bats have come in and made nests and now are living in this building. And have you ever noticed when you don't occupy something, how much quicker it seems to deteriorate? And how much quicker it seems to be to rot and to fall down? Lord, help us to have the things in our life that are pleasing to the Lord. Our temples won't begin to deteriorate and to rot down. But they come to Hezekiah. Well, let me back up. I wanted to make mention of verse 10. Said Hezekiah said, he said, now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. Hezekiah saw that building still had potential. He saw that there was still something there that the Lord could work with. And Hezekiah determined in his heart that he wanted to make a covenant with the Lord. He wanted to renew something. And I'm sure there's much more in that scripture than I can see into. But if I were to make a covenant with the Lord, that's Lord, I'm covenanting to you and I want to renew something. I want to renew and to begin something again within myself that I had at one time. I want you to renew a work in me, to start another work in me, Lord, that I've had. I know what it's about. I know what those altars are and that table, Lord, that I can come to and feel. I know what those things, the things that are in your temple, Lord, I know what those are about. And Lord, I want to renew that. I want to make that covenant, Lord. Hezekiah said, I want to make that covenant with the Lord. I want to get this place back to what it used to be. Well, they come to him. Verse 20, they come to him. They told him it was ready. And it says he rose early. And if I get up early for something, I'm excited about it. I'm ready to see what the Lord's got in store for me. He must have been excited. It said he rose early to go to the temple. And it goes on. And they brought the lambs and the rams and the animals, and they made the sacrifices. Now we're beginning to put back into play what the temple was intended for. Now we're beginning to do the things in the temple. Now that we've gotten the things out of the way, now that I've recognized that there's some things that shouldn't be there, and I've gotten those things out of the way, now we can get down to business. Hezekiah rose up early and he went to the temple, and he told them to carry forth with the sacrifices, and they carried forth the sacrifices, and when they did, they were able to play or to sing the song of the Lord. Now I tried to do some research. Well, maybe what the song of the Lord was. This is going to take me a little bit longer to find out. I couldn't find too much on it. So I have to go with my own interpretation. If I have a song of the Lord in my heart, that is me rejoicing and praising God for everything I've got. Everything within me is reaching out as hard as it can reach up to God and saying, Lord, thank you that I have found myself back in this place. Thank you, Lord, that this temple has been cleansed. It has been restored. You have brought me back from a place that was closed up, that was boarded up, that was empty, that was abandoned. And Lord, you have come back in here. And when I let myself, or when I let God come back and make that to cleanse and to begin to restore, then I can have the song of the Lord. Is our temple still alive and full of the Holy Spirit, full of God? Are there some broken things in our temple? A few weeks ago, I made mention of this Wednesday night. A few weeks ago, I was traveling home from work. I have quite a drive from work to home. It takes me some time to get back and forth. And I had some time on my hands. And I started out my vehicle with the radio on. I don't remember what was on, but it became, 5 minutes down the road, it became racket. Just in the back of my mind, it was just noise. And I had already kind of been feeling just a little bit empty. Just a little bit, kind of down. I like to use the word, kind of down in the mullet grubs. And I was tired of feeling that way. And I contributed it to several things, busy and work and not being in service as much as I would like. Several different factors, but I found myself just feeling down and out. I reached over there and I turned that radio off. And I looked at my passenger seat. And of course, it was empty. I didn't have anybody riding with me. But I looked at that seat. In my mind, I said, I'm just going to pretend the Lord's sitting right there by me. And I began to pour my heart out to him. And I told him, I said, Lord, I feel empty. I said, I feel kind of numb. I said, I feel like some things in my heart has gotten kind of dusty. And I said, Lord, I need you to come get the dust off of some things. Will you shine some light? Will you talk to me? Will you visit with me? I'll tell you, this morning he did that. He restored my temple. And dear ones, that's what he wants to do with us today. He wants to bring us from a place of maybe you don't find yourself in that place this morning. Maybe I feel like I'm speaking to ones this morning that have been in that place where they are full and the Lord has just blessed and I think of times we get up from an altar and we just feel at that very moment that we can take on the world, that we can take on anything that the devil's got for us. And maybe you do feel that way this morning, and thank the Lord if you do, but I do know that time has a way. Time has a way of dulling our senses. Time has a way of letting the grass grow up and the weeds grow up, and time has a way of causing things to fall apart and to rot down and to deteriorate. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, it's bound to happen. If we're not careful, things can slip in unaware. Things can creep in without us really realizing, without us really knowing. And it could begin to suck the life out of us and out of our temple and begin to destroy the things of the Lord without us really realizing it at first or before it's too late. But dear ones, thank the Lord that he still reminds us of things, that he still gives us visits on long rides home, that he still visits us in the night, and that he can still restore our temple. I'm just concerned that we not lose focus. Concerned that we not get caught up in the whirlwind that's going on around us right now. That we not get caught up in all the traps of the devil, those things that he puts out there, those things that may not be wrong in themselves. That we not let those things creep in and begin to separate and begin to bring our temple to a place where that the doors are closed. Yes, the Bible story was Ahaz. It was a man in his wickedness, something that he allowed, and it was because of him he physically did this. And I know that in life that no certain individual is going to come physically destroy you or destroy your temple. But dear ones, let us be aware of the things going on around us, that they not separate us. That they not separate us from God. And that they not separate us from each other. We need the Lord. And we need each other. Sometimes we all face the same things. And many of the time we all face different things. But if we allow them, no matter what they are, the devil will use them to creep in amongst us and destroy whatever it is that we have. Destroy the things that the Lord has given us. I want to remind us that our temple can be restored. We can be brought back to a place We can have the song of the Lord. We can be full of excitement once again. We can be dedicated. That same fire when you get up from an altar of prayer and you feel like you're just on fire and that you're ready to go save the world. We can still have those feelings. By the Lord's help, we can still find ourselves in that place. We can make a covenant. We can make a consecration. The scripture in 1 Peter, I wanted to read. It says, But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, after you have gone through those things and faced those things and dealt with those things, that scripture says, He will make you perfect, He will establish, He will strengthen, and He will settle you. Dear ones, that's Him restoring that temple. That's Him bringing it back to its purpose and its potential. I want to encourage us this morning to constantly seek the Lord, to say a prayer, Lord, help us to have the wisdom to know what needs to be there and to know what doesn't need to be there. If there are some things there, Lord, that have begun to separate, that I have maybe unintentionally become destroyed, broken window panes, broken things. Lord, I know You can fix them. And I know You can restore them. And things can take place within me that used to take place. Lord, help us to keep ourselves in a place that's pleasing to Him, that we allow the things in our life that's pleasing to Him, and help us to have the wisdom to be aware of those things that will creep in and destroy the temple. And be encouraged, be aware that Jesus is the one that can bring restoration, can bring peace, and can fix what needs to be fixed. Y'all pray for me.